Don't we got a show for you, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of the Curfew Boys. Before we get this started, if you like what you hear, if you love our content, you know where to follow us. You can follow us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. You can listen to us on any podcast platform like Google and Spotify and Apple. And yeah, if you want to see our beautiful faces, like I said, you can follow us now on YouTube, subscribe, and yeah, you can get to see our beautiful faces. Joey's on the market for some pretty ladies out there. Men too, if you want.
Or men. But,
not judging. Yeah,
we can't discriminate.
It's not discriminate. It's just that we both said at the same time for Joey.
I will keep it all in.
It's been a long time.
Keeping all in, Joe?
The range and the energy. Don't worry, it's fine.
Hold on. Before we get this started, what rage and energy do you have, Joey?
Don't knock before you try.
No, it's not rage. I'll keep my. How do I say it? I'll keep calm for all this.
You'll keep your composure.
Backlash that I get.
I call bullshit. I think he's gonna lose it later on.
We shall see.
I might.
I will find ways to poke the little bear over there because it's been a long time.
Little bear.
Yeah.
My God. Bear. One after another.
Oof.
There's so many.
Under the belt.
It's been a while. It's been a while,
what,
Joel.
What the fuck did Joey do to deserve this?
Nothing at all.
I just, you know. Anyways, guys, finally, it's us five live on this podcast. It's been a long time. To all listeners out there, we're finally the five right now. So what's up, boys? How's everything?
I listened today because we're going to be five. We're going to be us five today. I listened to The Boys Are Back in Town. I literally listened to that song today.
You got in the mood, eh?
Because everyone's here.
That was your theme song today?
Yep.
You're walking around your house naked and listen to that song.
The Pretty much.
Back in town.
Wow. Had the visual.
I honestly don't know
I'm
what's
sure
going on.
The visual.
I do.
It's the sunburn.
Yes, I'm very burnt right now. AJ, didn't you give up chips for Lent this year, or you gave up after 3 days?
Not Lent.
I didn't give up anything this year.
He gave up everything besides chips.
That was last year.
That was last year. Wow.
What is Lent? Explain to this modern society we live in.
More importantly, Anthony, how was Florida?
Oh, yes.
Florida's Florida, guys. I keep saying that every time you ask South Florida, it's Florida's Florida. It's home away from home. It was fucking hot. Then I come to this fucking cold bullshit.
It was nice while you were gone. We were in the bus.
Yeah, I know. And then this morning, I landed this morning. It was -6 at the airport. I was freaking out. And then tomorrow's supposed to be +11 again. So whatever. It was good. It was a nice couple of days of sun.
Hopefully, we're done with this fucking snow. I worked the night it snowed, and it was just people forget how to drive. Like, all common knowledge behind the wheel just goes out the fucking window, like, pun intended, for real. So it's just, I'm done. I'm done with the snow. I really am.
It's not over, boys.
I think we all are, but there's always, like, mazzo pazzo. To all Italians out there, mazzo pazzo means crazy March. March is over, but we've had a crazy storm in April once.
Last year.
Anyways, we'll see. Let's not talk about negativity. Let's get back into business. I think the Habs are still live in action right now, right?
And end of the second period versus Florida, down 3-1.
Congrats to Sean Farrell.
Sean Farrell scores his first fucking goal in his first shift at the Bell Center on his first shot.
Looked like a Joey goal.
Hey, it went in, right? It counts.
As long as it goes in, it counts, right?
Worst first goal of all time?
Mm.
Like, in terms of aesthetics.
No, right? I think Max Talbot's goal is worse. In 2005 with Pittsburgh. Off the draw, just yanked it. The goalie wasn't even paying attention. He was going to the bench.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, really. Fair enough. I remember that. Yeah.
But doesn't this give you a little bit of PTSD? With you know Sean Farrell scores his goal, having a good game, and then you go back and think about fucking
don't say it, Ryan Poehling.
Yeah, his first game in the NHL.
I love that kid. Yeah, I know.
It does
give me fucking PTSD. That's for sure.
Zook, you picked the bad one.
What happened? Yeah, well, you know what? Yeah, I had hope, but he didn't have the support staff that these kids have at this point. So
That's true. That's
no, but true. you score a hat trick in your first NHL game. Like
they didn't manage him well, though.
Talk about setting the fucking bar high.
No,
you
right?
Your shootout winner, yourself. Right?
And they didn't manage the youth the same as they did nowadays back in the day. They fucked up a lot of kids.
I think his concussion in the training camp after didn't help him. Right. Don't forget, he was supposed to make the team before Nick Suzuki. We all forget that.
Right.
Nick Suzuki made the team because Ryan Poehling got fucking hit.
And he was having a strong camp up until that point.
He was, absolutely. He totally was. Nick Suzuki was a backup plan. It was between those two for the final spot on the roster. Yeah, Suzuki got it because Poehling got hurt. He got a concussion. Like, can you imagine that, though? If you look back, like, talk about, I don't know if it's destiny or if it's meant to be, whatever you believe
it is.
But what would have happened if Suzuki did not make the team that year?
Well, I'd say it could have went back plan B. It could have been Poehling was a star and we wouldn't have known about Suzuki. He would have gotten traded and then he would have destroyed someone else.
Way to give the worst case scenario.
I know. Nah. All you're missing is just Poehling. He's the captain now, so.
Well, I'm looking at his stats right now with Pittsburgh. 45 games played, only 6 goals, 7 assists. So.
Yeah, but he's playing on the fourth line. He's our fourth line centerman, which is what he is. And personally, I thought he was gonna play or take over the spot that Jake Evans has now with the Canadiens.
Nah.
And Jake Evans is a good worker, but I think Poehling is a bit of a he's obviously a bigger player. I think he's a better skater. He's faster. But yeah, no, Jake Evans, just the thing about Jake Evans was he was consistent.
Nah, we need that right now.
absolutely. But how about we get into Sean Farrell's debut? When did he play on? When was it? Tuesday? No, yeah. Monday. Monday. Yeah, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Tuesday. Tuesday.
That's right. I've lost all fucking. Yeah. Kid looked good.
He didn't look out of place.
Nope. I said it from the beginning. He's a smart player. He knows how to position himself properly.
That's all he had, in my opinion, was his positioning. You could tell he was on point, but he still doesn't have the physical aspect to be in those places successfully.
So
for a long time, that's what I'm saying.
So who was it? I think at one point he was up against Ivan Provorov.
Who's the Finnish guy there? The tall guy.
It was the Russian. Like, and Provorov just went like.
Yeah,
like that.
No, it was also another player that did that.
But like that's the one I noticed. And I mean, Farrell's at 5'9". Like,
yeah, well, yeah, no, but so what? He'll gain like 15 pounds this summer or something, and that'll give him enough. No, or 10 pounds.
How much, Suk?
How about Neck?
Offield did that.
What do you want him to?
Suzuki did that as well.
You want him to squat like fucking 4 plates each side?
No, it's just it's the core strength, man.
He's in Montreal. He's gonna gain the weight.
Yeah, it's not only that he's in Montreal, but Coffee did the same thing. By the way, guys, he gained about 10-15 pounds from last summer.
How do you know this?
He said it. After they do the fall camp there, right before the season, they do all these tests. And stuff
he did gain a few pounds. I don't remember how much.
I know he put on muscle and
gained. And it shows. He's not fucking falling all the time.
I don't know if it was 15 pounds. I think you're mistaken with KK because KK won some.
No, KK too. Out of nowhere. KK too. But that was a while ago.
But he still had shit balance, KK. That was a problem. He was always falling.
He's still falling. You look at the game he played against Canadians. Half the time's on the
ice. Yeah, he won the fucking game. I remember that.
Yeah, whatever. But he also played like 9 minutes the whole game.
Because he supports the tank. That's why.
Yeah, whatever.
I think he wants the best for Suzuki and Caulfield.
Probably. Mint.
But yeah, it's funny. Like even tonight against Florida, like you could tell the kid is small and he's gonna have to pack in like a couple of pounds of muscle. But hey, fucking just comes on the left side, just a little shot to the net, nothing hard, a little soft. You know, listen, people are gonna say, oh, it's a shitty goal. Hey, you know what?
Goal is a goal.
A goal's a goal. Put the puck on net. You don't shoot, you don't score.
Paul Maurice must have loved that one.
He wasn't too happy.
God. Oh my
he
god!
Been very happy with that.
Did you see his fucking his fucking verbal fiesta he was having against the Maple Leafs?
That's politely said.
He basically called them little bitches. He's like, you guys are fucking playing like little bitches.
Paul Maurice knows puck. He knows puck.
Well, I think he does, but hey, it worked. The one time we the Habs fans cheer for the fucking Leafs, and they let us down. Like you know what? The Toronto
they
fans
suck. It is what it is.
But this is what Toronto fans go through on the daily. This is no wonder it's tough being a Leaf fan. No wonder it's tough living in Toronto. Like this looks like shit.
Did you hear? Yeah. Though they put some odds up today of Toronto. Toronto passing first round this year. I think they were favored to win, but then again, we'll see what happens.
Let's put $50.
I said it before. They'll pass this time.
And
I think
let's put $50 each, and we're gonna win a lot of money.
Jesus,
look,
I have a feeling.
I said this last year. Toronto surpasses first round. They go to the finals. But then again.
Oh, I don't think it's not this
not
year.
This year.
I agree, but not this year.
No, but there's something. But it's just that mind thing. You're right. Last year, yes, but this year, on paper, they don't have that same team or that same fire to go to the finals. But it's all about it's breaking the ice. I see. I don't know, but then there's Boston. Like Boston's killing it. Rangers is killing it.
That's why it's less about it's less about Toronto, more about the teams they would face last year. If they passed Tampa, they were clear favorites to make the final. This year with Carolina, Boston, New York,
no chance.
I think it's gonna be way too tough. It's
tough, man.
Then you never know. It's playoff hockey, man.
Anything happens. Yeah, I want to ask you guys. Just going back to Farrell's debut, what did you think of St. Louis' comments? When he was asked, is it because he's showing that you guys are you confident putting him in the lineup? And he goes in French, he goes, oh, it's a question for Kent.
Yeah, straight out, he didn't seem happy about putting him in.
I don't know.
He wants to win games, whereas Kent Hughes, I think, wants to see where prospects are at.
That's
and
your perception.
I agree with Kent Hughes. Besides the tank thing, they're not going anywhere. I'm sorry. We know they're not making playoffs. What does it hurt to put in the rookie for a few games just to see what he can do? Marty, I think, wants to always put the best lineup out there to win every night, but the season's over. So I personally agree with Kent, and I think Marty's in the wrong for that one.
Yeah, but it wasn't even Kent's decision. It was Gordon's decision.
Or Gordon, even if it's Gordon.
And Marty said Kent because he's talking about the management. Like he was like generalizing. Yeah.
But what does it hurt to put the kid in just to see how he can do? It hurts Marty because Marty wants to have the best players available.
Yeah,
to him
and I don't see an issue with Marty actually having.
Like no, a, but to the a, reaction, a, I don't find
pissed about it.
But I think Marty maybe was just a
his
like
job.
A,
yeah,
sort of. They didn't ask him.
They just, don't have to ask him.
I know
they didn't. If they're evaluating fucking prospects for reasons.
I understand, but
I mean they didn't. I'm sure they made the decision to play Primo as well. It wasn't Marty's decision. You think Marty would have called up?
That was weird. But that was weird, though.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, there's
something there, man.
Don't forget, Caden Primo is Keith Primo's son. Keith Primo made a life in Philly, so I thought he was going and see his dad.
Is he his son?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
There's a million Primos in the world, but
yes, okay. But that's why. But like Keith Primo played for Philly, made in his prime, he was with Philly. So I thought, I don't know, I'm like, okay, Caden's going to see Dada or something. But I don't get it. I don't understand.
I think they, you know, when we had the whole conversation about Monty, like, is he going to be a starter or?
Yeah.
Maybe they had that confidence that if they put him in nets, they're actually going to win. They don't want to win the game.
There's no other logical reason. I thought maybe even Primo like was from.
They knew Primo sucked, so I was like, okay, just put him in.
I thought it was a big game to lose. He's Adrian's right. It could be a factor. I thought maybe they were from Philadelphia and he wanted to go in front of his parents or his family. Feral. But I went to look it up. Primo's from Michigan, so
yeah.
I don't even know if his family was there.
Well, there
or
you go.
Whatever the case was. So then I started to think, okay, maybe they just wanted to try to throw this game. There's no other logical explanation.
Or there is another logical. They're evaluating where they are at in terms.
But one game?
What decisions could be made in the summer based on what they're looking at? They might let go of some pieces. You never know.
I'd agree if it's multiple games, but one game and then you send them down. You call them up, play one game, yeah, you send them back down.
Guys, okay, so this might lead to the next segment. Something.
Conspiracy.
Wait,
don't go into another segment yet, because I have something to say about Marty's way of looking at things and
finish that point. But then Zook, remember that what you just said right now, okay? Yeah. And then we'll get back.
Because this isn't the first time where we see little Anthony details about. And I'm serious. Okay, let's go back to the I think it was the trade deadline. Well, I don't know if it was a trade deadline or if it was a Kent Hughes' mid-season press conference, something like that. But remember when he said winning is good to a certain point?
Yeah,
that was the mid-season. Yeah.
So you know, like it's definitely not a knock on Marty, but at the same time too, it's like. It's great. You're coaching these players to play well and to, you know, to play with heart and leave it all out on the ice. It's great and all. Yeah. It's like, but fuck. But in doing so, you're creating results that might not be totally beneficial for the future plans of this team. And so, fast forward to what happened this week. Like, it's like, oh, ask Kent that question. Oh, that's a question for Kent. So,
but what was the exact question?
It was something about, do you feel comfortable putting
that matters.
Now, for some reason, I thought he was talking about Primo, but I don't know if he was talking about Primo or Farrell in the lineup, but something along the lines in French said, like, are you comfortable putting the player, the kid in? And he's like, that's a question for Kent. Yeah. And then he asked again, he's like, wait, question for Kent. He's like, Marty gave him a death stare. Like, that's a question for Kent.
That's fucking amazing. Marty, dude. Winner, dude. Like, what do you fucking blame?
Oh, but okay, absolutely. Like, that's the hockey player in him coming out, dude, like wanting to win at all. But like, I don't know. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Like, they might not be seeing eye to eye. I know Marty's short, but you know what I mean?
Sam, look at it this way. I think Hughes and Gorton would have been much happier if they have 6 or 7 losses more than what they do now.
But guys, hold on.
No, that includes you on that list. I know that. And me as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but wait, hold on. I get what you're saying. Wow, Kevin, I'm saying this because I'm like the Mr. Detail guy. But for the first time, I'm not seeing it this way. I actually think we're just overthinking it. Because at the end of the day, guys, Marty doesn't make the final decision. Okay, Marty is a winner. He's not going to be a guy to have the losing mindset.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, if Gorton and you say, hey, Marty, I don't give a fuck what you want to do. You're losing tonight. They have the right to do that. It's not Marty saying, hey, Hughes, this is my team. I'll do what the fuck I want. No. So at the end of the day, maybe they don't see eye to eye. Maybe, like, Sam, you're seeing those details, which is a given. It's something that I would see. But I think at the end of the day, if Gorton and Hughes want to lose, they would put their foot down.
Yeah. So
the other way around, then I would see what you're seeing. If it was Hughes the winner, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree that maybe it's totally blown out of proportion, and I think it's just media doing media things.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I hope it doesn't become concerning in the future. I hope it doesn't become a problem in the future. Like, no. I hope it doesn't happen again, or at least I hope nobody makes some kind of comment, remark, like, not that they would do it on purpose, but, like, you know what I mean? If they don't see eye to eye on a situation, like, as long as it's kept in the background and nobody knows about it.
Yeah. Nah, dude. Yeah, right.
It only become a problem if it does happen again and Marty is a bigger name in hockey later on. Right now, Hughes and Gorton can do what they want with him. I don't think he's earned the right to go against the management. I don't think he's earned it. I'm sorry.
But he's getting there, though, I think.
He's getting there, but he's not there yet. So they still have the right to do it.
Guys, remember, if he's
a bigger name.
I honestly think they're also playing a game of chess here, right? They're trying to make,
there you go,
like, guys, and this is what I was gonna say before about what Zook said, right? Like, why did they put Farrell? These games mean nothing. But with the mindset I believe this management has of of rebuilding, but in a smarter way and not retooling. We're hearing rumors, and again, this I'm not trying to get to the next seven, but we're hearing rumors that they want to trade to get established players instead of working with the draft, right? So maybe that's the whole Marty saying, well, ask Kent, because maybe he doesn't want to tell the media what they're trying to do, right? Maybe Farrell is playing to show what his assets, because maybe Farrell will be one to be traded. You know what I mean? Like, these are little...
Yeah, absolutely. Who knows? It's just, I think, but it caught everybody by surprise that Farrell would get into the lineup because he hasn't practiced. He didn't practice with the team at all. Like, he literally...
Yeah, I know, but Sammy, he's played a lot of hockey, though.
Yeah, like, he has. Yeah.
Coming up until this point,
a lot of hockey. Like, is 30, 40 games in college a lot of hockey? That's
right, but wasn't he in a playoff run, like, recently?
Yeah, I'm including. Yeah,
In terms of intensity, right? In terms of his intensity of, like,
the kid dominated.
Play. He's been having a lot of gameplay, but I mean,
the kid dominated. Yeah. He was...
Looks like Caulfield. Like, remember, he came to the Habs. He didn't practice. He was slotted in the team.
He went to Laval.
He went to Laval before or after? Because I remember him going after.
Oh, no. He went to Laval, scored two goals in his first game.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, yeah, he played one. Before coming up. Farrell was different.
Like this. So the rules this year, don't forget that was during the start of COVID year. So the rules were different. Right. But they can't send Sean Farrell to Laval because he's not qualified after the trade deadline.
Stupid rules again.
So I don't understand now. Whatever, he signed a 3-year contract because he's not over 22, and obviously the first year is burnt. That's fine, whatever. They did the same thing with Romanov. It wasn't a big deal. They're doing the same thing with Jordan Harris. Not a big deal. I'm curious. He won't be able to go to Laval. I'm curious to see if he will get a contract, a professional contract from Laval when the season's done, because the minors, they still play, I think, a bit more games after the season's done, but I'm not 100% sure. But all in all, it's like, look, I'm a big fan of this kid. To see him score his first goal tonight was awesome. I don't care how soft it was, for lack of better terms.
Nah.
Look, man. Like, good for him. This kid's a smart player. If he beefs up a little bit, he knows how to position himself properly. We're not in a time anymore where small players is an issue. Maybe in playoffs, but
if he has the IQ, Sammy, it makes no difference what size you are.
I agree.
I had similar fears with Nick Suzuki before he became Nick Suzuki. Mm-hmm. I found him being very small for a number one center. But then I saw him play, and okay, I'm like, okay, he's not in. He doesn't put himself in positions to be vulnerable for that. And then he beefed up that second he was like, okay, fuck, he's winning face-offs. He's strong. He's not falling. So, I don't know. Things could change really fast, especially at that age.
Well, look, I felt this.
Farrell?
Farrell's 21. I felt the same way.
Still probably growing. Fuck.
When Caulfield first started, like, he looked like a pimpsqueak. Like,
yeah. Like, yeah. But he's still scoring. How many goals in his fucking...
Yeah, but Caulfield's a goal scorer. And whereas I see Sean Farrell has the exact same style as Caulfield in terms of skating, the same... Like, they look the same. But with Nick's mind and with Drouin's playmaking abilities.
Yeah. Yeah, in the side
Okay. No,
did you see Joey's face?
That's exactly what I wanted from Joey.
Listen, if he could replace Joey, I'd take him.
Sean Farrell's playmaking abilities is amazing. It's. I think he's gonna have an NHL quality, NHL quality type playmaker. And I'm excited. Starting the third period, he's on the ice right now as we speak. And started the third period. What am I saying? We're 7 minutes in. He's on the ice now. I see right here. So.
Yeah.
All righty.
I mean, look. Back to what Zook was saying before, in regards to I forgot what he was saying. Exact words he said, but in many words you were saying, The next couple of games, how many? What, six left? Seven, five, six, give or take?
There's seven games, including, if after this one, there's going to be six.
Okay, so six games left after tonight. These games mean nothing, right? And we need to, the last six games need to show, and again, this is the whole chess game I was talking about before, where I think Kent and Hughes and, well, sorry, Kent Hughes and Gordon and Marty are all playing this game with the media to, because look, I strongly believe that July, Montreal will be one of the most active teams on the market.
Oh, yeah.
They were active last year, too, in getting Kirby Dog.
But I think they're going to be very active. And here we are all fucking season long, Joey freaking out on last place, second last place, playoff run, this and that.
I think Connor Bedard is a superstar. Come talk to me.
I never disagreed with this whole Bedard thing.
It'll be soon.
But yeah, exactly. But Joey, you could be last and not get first. So, anyways.
But that's the thing. Look. What's it called? Jersey was seventh last year, and they still got the third overall pick. So it means shit.
We got second, we got first.
The second.
That was lucky, Joey.
We don't have luck. That's the problem.
We had luck last year, but yeah.
The last time we had a 100-point player? Matthew Tkachuk just put up 100 points and it wasn't.
Not guaranteed the Dars going to give you 100 points, buddy. But yeah,
were we even born?
No.
My point being is, I think this whole draft thing is going to be something that's going to catch us off guard. Okay? There's a lot of rumors right now. Sorry, Joey. I know you didn't want to talk about this.
No, we have to talk about
it. I mean, it's tiring, but yeah.
And let's go rewind. It is tiring. Like, guys, to all our OG fans, all right, episode 2 Curfew Boys was
episode 2.
Their PLD talk, okay? Episode 2 with fucking Red Hot Chili Peppers theme song, right? We spoke
low budget, no fucking salary. I mean, we still have no salary, but I mean, extremely. We had zero budget.
Only Sammy, even with shitty headphones, sounded the best. Like, he always sounded. He still, this day, he still sounds like the professional on the fucking podcast because of his voice. But fast forward 3 years later, we're still fucking talking about PLD. And I'm telling you now, Sam, you had mentioned not long ago, if ever we do get PLD, we're fucking putting that episode as a rewind episode for the.
Well, I might post a couple of clips rewind from on this one, but
Sam, can you put the one where I said we should have traded KK for him, and then I got scolded by everyone. Or no, we can't trade KK. Wow. We can't do it.
Wow, Joey.
Can you put that one?
Yeah, PTSD.
Of course.
Next thing you know, in a couple of years from now, Joey's going to remember when Anthony opened this show about how Joey's available for both men and women out there.
So, no, but seriously, all jokes aside.
I don't know how this. Look, I guess it started at the start of the season where he made it public. Yeah, I want to be a Montreal Canadian. So, and I think everybody was like, yeah, okay, yeah, good. Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Good for you. And as it kept going, it was more like, yeah, no, he still wants to be a Montreal Canadian. It's like, all right, let's talk. Now you hear fucking Elliot Friedman on the 32 Thoughts podcast where he's like, yeah, Montreal and Winnipeg have been talking. It's 95% sure that he's going to be there. They just haven't really been able to iron out details or fit. I'm like, what?
He's never said when.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, but okay. Let's talk. Dude, perfect. Let's talk about when here.
It depends.
Okay.
Adri has it.
Okay. I know Adri. I think Adri, you got something. Well, you definitely got something. Okay. Why in any GM's right mind, why would he trade? Hold on a sec. Why would he trade assets now for him when he could get him in just one more year?
No, exactly. One more year.
Yes. Okay.
It all depends.
Let me refresh. No,
it's the one
on.
After next.
Those, time out. Let me refresh all your memories here.
He finishes this one, and then he's got the one more.
He's a restricted free agent at the end of this year, which means that Winnipeg still own his rights. That means if any other team wants to offer him a contract the way Carolina offered a qualifying offer to Jesperi Kotkaniemi, an offer sheet, exactly. If the Canadians do that and Winnipeg doesn't match, then depending the salary, what they gave him, they have to give up a certain number of first-round draft picks. That's not going to happen. Kent Hughes and Jeff Gordon are not going to do that. If they do that,
I will literally, I'll you guys decide which one of my nuts I'm gonna chop off. Okay, you guys decide, not my left one.
But I thought.
Okay, so that's not going to happen. Kent Hughes is not going to offer Sheet Pierre-Luc Dubois. That's off the fucking table. Now,
he can for 1 year.
Okay, and so to Adrie's point is, because I think Pierre-Luc Dubois, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's 26. Is that right? Or is he younger? All that to say is he's 24? 4, 8, 18, 19, 20.
24. He's fucking...
Okay. Perfect, because
didn't
he start the NHL at the age of 18?
Yeah.
So I think you become an unrestricted free agent when you've done 7 years in the NHL.
That's right.
Either you turn either after the age of 27 or you've done 7 years, something like that. Okay.
You're not gonna wait that long, dude.
Oh, whose phone is that?
Sorry, guys. It's Kent Hughes.
It's Kent Hughes telling.
Breaking news, boys.
He's telling Anthony that don't talk about PLD.
Like, yo, it's like we got the trade. Go, we got that. Oh, Anthony better have something good from Kent after. So, Winnipeg, you know that they're gonna offer him one more year because Pierre-Luc Dubois is gonna refuse anything else more than a year because he wants to be a Montreal Canadiens, right?
But so why for this 1 year with Winnipeg? Do they have no choice?
They have no choice.
1 year. What if they don't want 1 year?
Well, then
what I'm telling you, like what happens at that point?
Well, then listen, it's either trade me, or he doesn't get signed, and if he doesn't get signed as an RFA, he doesn't play. If by December, I think by December 1st,
They do have the whole arbitration rights that they go to, and if
they have arbitration, okay.
Yeah, if they don't agree to a contract, they go there and they evaluate you of how much you should make for 1 year. Okay. So he might just sign that offer, but it's not the whole when thing. I was going to ask this to Anthony when he returns. It depends what market he's talking about for that Kent Hughes might make according to him or his prediction. If Kent Hughes is going to get a few guys that are going to help us race the playoffs, okay, but
it's not
we're
prediction.
Not at that level yet.
Hughes said it. He's like, I would much prefer, I don't know if he said I'd much prefer, but he said along the lines, I'm looking for a more established player to make a trade for, like a Kirby Doc. Now, is he saying around the same age, like at that young age, 21, 22, or does he mean somebody in their prime at the age 24, 25, 26?
But it's not the right, maybe if it was a Kirby Doc type player at that age, sure, but Dubois, I don't think the timing is right. Like, he does not make it. Let's say Montreal were to sign him without giving up anybody, and they have this roster next year. He does not make Montreal make it to playoffs. I don't know. There's a lot more to
adding to the depth. Yes, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily getting him because they're going to make playoffs next year.
If you're planning to give up assets to get Dubois for next year, and you don't make playoffs because you know you're getting Dubois, you probably have to give up a first rounder.
100%.
And Winnipeg going to accept a rounder for a following year? I don't know if they will. They're going to want the first rounder for the year coming. And if Montreal's not going to make playoffs, you don't give that first round. So
And I would never, now wherever Montreal's actual pick, you don't touch. But if Florida doesn't make the playoffs in a strong draft year, I wouldn't give up that first round pick either.
Exactly, it's not the right
unless they're waiting to see where Florida lands, and then they'll see if they'll give that pick with a prospect.
I think that's a possibility. Yes, because if Florida does make the playoffs and if they go far, where they're going to be picking between 20 and 25th.
Take it.
Then you know what? Maybe I'd consider trading that. I'll give you that, Adrian. I think I would. Maybe.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm against that, Sam. I don't think they should trade in this strong draft year. Even next year. Even if you get Dubois in the summer and they say, give us a 2024 first rounder. I'm sorry. Unless Hughes and Gordon are miracle workers, I don't think they're going to raise the team's level while they'll make playoffs next year. And again, we might be in the lottery, not bottom five, but we might be bottom 10, even let's say bottom 12. If we're in a lottery spot, I don't want that pick gone for Dubois. I don't think we're ready. I think we should just wait till he's free and not give up assets. We'll be much more ready then than we will be at the end of this season going into next season.
Because my and the fear I have is not only if they want to go get him now, not only are you giving up assets, but you're going to have to fucking pay him.
Yeah.
You're going to have to pay him.
And, they're up the cap, by the way.
They're up. They're 100% up the cap. You got to pay Caulfield. You got to pay Farrell. Sorry, not Farrell. You got to pay Harris. Sorry. Do you want to keep Dadanov? Well, you're going to have to pay him.
Dadanov.
Oh my God! Sorry, not that. Guriano. Sorry.
Which I think they will.
The other one.
The other off.
So, okay, Ants. Perfect. You came in. What did Kentu say? What did he tell you?
PLD's actually the offer sheet's been done.
The offer sheet.
Dojo's right.
Anthony, I was referencing your point. If Kent Hughes is going to make some marquee signings in the summer, which I don't think he can because they're still in cap trouble, then maybe go after PLD. But just getting PLD, just him next year, without much other major improvements in terms of defense and maybe goaltending. I mean, Montembeau's done well, but we don't know. If you're just PLD, you're going to have to give up a first-round pick. Now, I won't want to give a first-rounder this year. And next year, if we're going to be in the lottery.
I spoke about this is what AG hadn't brought up in. Did AG speak about what he wrote in our chat?
The trade proposal.
The Florida pick.
And then I said, depending where they fall, maybe they're going to wait until where he falls.
Exactly. And like, I wouldn't
give that up. I would not.
So you, okay, so hold on.
Joey wants to tank for 7 years.
And that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So look, all jokes aside, okay. And guys, I'm on the same page as you, Joey. Like, I'm not here to buzz balls at this moment.
But you're
I'm
about actually... to argue with me.
So no, I'm not. I'm not arguing with you. My point is, okay. I'm like, look, we've been suffering for the last 10, 15 years, right? And
15.
Whatever. I'm just throwing out numbers. We've been suffering for a really long time since 93, okay? And I know we've been doing it wrong, but I said this at the beginning of the season, I think we're at the right spot to finally get what we all dreamed of. All us five specifically, because we've been talking on chats for a really long time about this team, of our vision and what we want. And I think this management will get to what we want. Now, I know Sammy's saying 8-9 years, Joey wants 15-20 years, whatever. All I'm saying, I think these guys are not a losing mentality. There is some teams that are losing mentalities and they want to do it right, like Edmonton and everybody else. I honestly think these guys want to do this the right way, not a stupid way, but they're going to, like I said, look, last year was a perfect example of getting rid of a draft and Romanov for Kirby Doc, and Kirby Doc proved himself this year that we won that trade.
Yeah.
Now,
3 years age difference, by the way. That's true. That's a big thing for us.
True. Now, I do agree with you, Joey, of I wouldn't want to get PLD now, that if their vision is to tank for another 3-4 years, which I don't see happening. I don't see it happening.
Hughes said, real quick, guys, keep in mind, Hughes said in an interview with Pierre LeBrun that it'll probably take this team another 1 to 2 or 2 to 3 years.
2 to 3.
In 2 to 3 years, we're gonna be in the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
So why next year would you get Dubois? If we're not gonna make it, why would you give up? You're gonna have to give up a first round.
That's another little detail.
It's either Florida's or Montreal's 2024 right now. If you give a Montreal's 2024, and we all know the team won't be good enough to make it just with Dubois. Again, they're up against the cap. Hughes and Gordon were given such a bad cap managed team. It's incredible old management. So because they're up against the cap, I don't see them getting other marquee signings that will help them make the playoffs next year. So if you give up that, I will be pissed if you give up that first of next year and you get Dubois and you still don't make playoffs. That's why I said just sign him for free without giving up assets.
But
we'll
here's
be in a perfect frame in 2-3 years.
And here's another thing that Anthony mentions: Kirby Doc. He proved himself. It's like, okay, you bring in Dubois. It's like, but where's he gonna go? Where's he gonna fit exactly in the lineup?
you might keep Kirby Doc at wing if you're talking like if we're talking lineups and tactical, like
if how you're gonna go lineups again.
Dubois a winger or a center?
But hold on a second.
Wait. Back with Joey. Because what's gonna end up happening if they do get Dubois, it's gonna be, you have Suzuki and Dubois. The first two centers, Doc and Caulfield, are going to be at back at the top.
Yeah, they're going to be back on the wing. That's
okay.
More sensible.
I want to say I want to say something. Okay, back to my Edmonton comment. Okay, and this is where I see this management doing it smart. Okay, think about this. Joey, you made a comment of why get PLD now when maybe we can get him in 2-3 years when we're ready to contend, right?
Well, it'll also be free.
You don't have to trade. You don't have to trade any assets. Yes.
Sign him in 2 years for free.
Yes, but I'm trying to put my Hughes hat on, which I don't have that hat on. I'm not knowledgeable like them.
You have more hair than him, though.
Just shave.
I'm actually losing a lot of it, actually. But anyways. Okay, look at Edmonton, okay? McDavid, the year after. Drysdale, the year after. This guy, Hopkins, this guy. They did it so spread out. And chemistry never built. Same thing with Toronto. Fucking Matthews, Marner. Tavares, all spread out.
Very good point.
No chemistry being built.
Yep.
You do it the way we're all projecting and you're not agreeing with. If you do it in the way where, look, Suzuki, Caulfield together, now they have a chemistry being built. I'm trying to close this. I'm sorry to all the listeners out there. I'm trying. I don't know.
He's
I'm
a very
little
busy
button
man.
On the side.
He's very wanted. It's probably PLD telling him to stop talking.
Stop ruining my future.
How do you close this? I'm so sorry. I don't want. You can edit this. Okay. My point I'm trying to make is, I think they want to do it in a way where the team contends in 2-3 years, whatever. Not contends, but make the playoffs and whatever. But from now till then, you're building that chemistry instead of filling in little spots here and there. And then
I see that
you build your team like Edmonton and Toronto. But then it's too late because the chemistry is built 5, 6, 7 years later.
And they're out of their prime.
You're more talking about teams like Colorado did what you're doing. They built together.
That's
4 years.
That's
growing together. They basically became one organism.
I see that point.
With the same motion. So
it's just, I mean, the way Hughes handles assets, it'd be so hard for him. It will be so hard for him to have to look at. I got Dubois. We didn't still make playoffs. And look, the team that in Winnipeg have a draft lottery pick. You know what I mean? He's got to fix.
But
there's other areas to fix before getting Dubois.
Another good thing, because I saw because of our lovely merger, we still have Osner up against the fucking cap.
He's not after this year. It's it's the last year after this one. I'm pretty sure.
You got another year.
At 800,000.
Yeah, but
he has a hit at 1.6.
Cap management is awful. We're one of the worst. That one interview he said when he traded for Matheson or right around that time was one of the best he ever made. He said, "How could we have a roster something along the lines of how could we have be last in the league?" But we're first in terms of how much space we have left. How is that possible? We have the worst team and we have the worst cap space. That's what he has to correct first. And until you correct that, me and Sam were talking earlier today. We had a conversation. Montreal's been scoring lately. I think Marty's done an excellent job getting the forwards to score, which is what Dubois does. If you guys know, since March 13th, the Habs were second only to Colorado in goals, like 30-something goals in like 2.5 weeks. They've been second to only Colorado. They score with half their lineup out.
Okay, but Joey, to add to that, it wasn't always your forwards. If you look at their D points, it's all Matheson, Savard.
But the problem is they can't keep the puck out of the net.
Yeah,
that's why they're losing games.
No matter
like
how
nine,
well,
five, it's fine. 8-8-2
and who,
or whatever.
And what group of problem is that? We praised the way Montembeau's played this year, and we're still bad defensively. So to me, that defense, I'm not saying it's all the rookies or whatever, but the pairings that are there are not working. Plus, we have injuries with Gouley, et cetera. Yeah.
But a lot of people
at first.
A lot of people fear that Dubois is going to have kind of the same attitude problems like when he had with Tortorella, and now look what's going on in Winnipeg with Winnipeg's coach's name? My God, I had a tip of my tongue, but he called out his players just the other day, saying there's guys in that locker room, if they think they're giving it their all, they're dreaming.
Yeah,
and I don't know if the coach is talking more about guys like Shifley, Wheeler, and Kyle Connor. Maybe. And maybe not Dubois, but
Sam, did you ever see that city?
Coach Bowness, you're talking about Bowness or however you pronounce
it's,
it?
It's Rick Bowness.
Rick Bowness. Yeah.
Bowness.
Yeah, so it's like.
Did you ever go to Winnipeg, though? It's like.
Yeah, it's the worst city in this fucking country.
but honestly, I think PLD wants to come here because he loves the idea of playing with Marty.
Do you have a fear? Do you have a fear this could be another Drouin? Because I certainly
No. No, not with Marty, man. It's okay, a different
fair
regime.
But he's gonna cost this team so
yeah,
much
yeah.
money.
That's the thing. It
we can't afford him even if we wanted to.
Not right now, we can't. No, yeah. We have to get rid of all the dead weight. Drouin, Hoffman, all these guys, they gotta clear it.
And what if we do draft a centerman top five this year?
Yeah, I know.
What do you do with Peel? Exactly. What if you
Okay. What if we get first? You do nothing.
What if we get first? What do you do if we get first? Seriously, what do you do with
PLD? If we get Connor Bedard?
Yes.
You put him on a line.
Okay. And what if you get Fantilli?
You put him. You say goodbye to the. You say you don't announce or pronounce Pierre-Luc Dubois' name ever again. If you get Adam Fantilli, future Hobie Baker Award finalist. You don't even pronounce Pierre-Luc Dubois' name if you get Adam Fantilli.
So, look, these are all hypotheticals, right? We all have valid points. I'm not taking any of these points away from anybody. Joey, you have a good point of the contracts. You know, who said about the dressing room scenario where he could be related to, oh my God,
Drouin.
All valid points. At the end of the day, we don't know what's going through their heads. All I'm saying is, I believe this management is doing it in a way where they want to look. How many times have I said this is an argument Joey and I had many times about heart and talent? Okay, and I kept saying, you know, heart is important, whatever. And I finally came in and I said, look, talent is needed, but it's not what makes you win. It's a mix, a balance of both talent and chemistry and heart. Okay. Clearly, this team with heart went to the fucking Stanley Cup Finals with not much talent. Okay, heart brought them that far. If they had a bit of more talent, we probably could have won it, right? Toronto, all kinds of fucking talent, can't even fucking pass the first round. Edmonton, all kinds of crazy talent, can't even make the fucking playoffs. Okay,
they were in the semis last year, but okay, they're doing well. They're not as bad as what
they lost. They lost against the Stanley Cup champions.
Last
year was the first time they went that far. Is what I'm trying to say. But before last year, they were couldn't even make the playoffs. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is, I think getting PLD now, if that were to happen, I think the vision shifts for this team and this management. I believe that they're trying to build this team ground up with chemistry instead of spreading out the talent. Because that's what you need. You can have all the best players on the fucking...
But ask yourself this, though. Pierre-Luc Dubois on any other team, is he a number one centerman?
He's not even number one on Winnipeg.
So,
You know what? I don't even want him for a centerman. I just want his talent on the wing.
He's 25 goals, though, man.
I mean, okay, you put him on the wing, but then what happens to a kid like Slafkovský that you drafted first overall?
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts here. There's a lot of moving parts.
What happens to him? Because if Dubois comes in and suddenly he's the player that pushes your first overall pick down to the third line or the fourth line,
people are gonna have Ken Hughes' head for drafting.
Oh my God! Listen, maybe
just trade him.
Oh my God!
I think PLD for more assets. Nice.
I think July.
You're gone. Mid game, get the fuck out.
I think July will start shifting our vision a bit.
We'll see.
We'll have more clear vision of the future because I personally do not see the mindset of this organization tanking for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years. I don't see
it. It's not even their vision of tanking. It's how their players develop.
Yeah.
They can't buy again. They have to perform miracle just to get PLD. Not that he doesn't want to play. Obviously, he wants to play here. It's easy to trade, but it's the asset that Hughes and Gordon have to be comfortable giving up. And again, salary.
Okay. Let me paint this picture for you guys.
What's his salary now?
6 million or 6.5, something like that.
It's like
who's more desperate to trade him? Who's more desperate? Is Montreal more desperate to get him, or is Winnipeg more desperate to trade him?
I think it's neither. Winnipeg. I think it's the player. The player's more desperate out of anything. Not even
If Pierre-Luc Dubois is more desperate, what does that do for Winnipeg? It puts them in a handcuff.
Exactly.
And it gives Kent. It actually, I just thought about this now. It gives Kent Hughes the balls in his court.
Dude, Kent Hughes is a fucking lawyer. The guy knows how to play the chess.
Dude, Kent Hughes is an agent, not a lawyer. What the fuck are you talking about?
I know, but agents are lawyers. They're lawyers. They have their law degrees. They're lawyers, right? So they know how to play these fucking situations.
I'll look at his LinkedIn later.
He's not an ex-defenseman who was on the fourth line in a minor team in St. Louis here. Like, he's a lawyer.
Sam, okay. In hockey, when players say, I only want to play for this team, refuse, it gives them a bad name. It's happened a lot in other sports, but people remember that. Let me say something
on this point.
Football players and basketball players do that every hour.
Let me explain why.
It's a different mindset with it.
Go, Zook.
No.
Go.
So this is what I wanted to, and this is my thing there that I said earlier. I was going to say it in our chat, but I was like, might as well say it here. I was not for PLD coming to the Canadians at that time. And okay. I was like, okay, look, he's going to be another Drouin, this and that, the pressure, blah, blah, blah. But then, as of like lately, as of the rumors, you know, surface with that 95% certainty that he's come to the Canadians and hearing that he wants to come to the Canadians. When was the last time, guys, that a star player wanted to come to Montreal on their own fucking will?
It helps.
Never. Nobody. We wanted to get Briere. He said, fuck you. He came at his prime.
This even kid, Cavalier.
Cavalier, the guy. Exactly. But he was old. He was in his 30s at this point.
Dude, Briere was in a Stanley Cup contending team. Twice.
Right. But this shift that you're witnessing is something of a rarity that you don't even fucking perceive it. Having a French Canadian wanting to play in Montreal is idol, is fucking favorite team, a guy that takes pressure better than most fucking Quebec players, and he wants to thrive, scoring goals, 25, 30 goals in Montreal, wanting to come here. I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's try to get this motherfucker because it's never gonna happen again. And he's young.
I mean,
I don't know.
He
fits the mold of the Canadians. He's a big, fast player.
I don't get why we have to have that mentality. Oh, he's from here. We have to get him
because
in the U.S. I can guarantee you in the U.S. Toronto, don't have that mentality. The guy's from Jersey, New Jersey. Let's go get him. He's from Jersey. They don't have. It's only here.
No, it's not only here.
They're saying about Matthews going to Arizona, where he's from.
It's not only here, dude. And
I don't know. I know what you're saying, Jordan.
Can you give me another one besides a Quebecer wanting to come here and it makes such media hype?
I'm telling you right now, and I said this at the beginning of the season.
Kane going back to New York.
This whole talk is going to go in the garbage if Toronto.
Yeah.
Hear me out. And I said this before, and don't attack me here. Toronto does not make the first round, past the first round. Mm-hmm. It is over for Marner and Matthews.
That team's going to implode, yeah.
Okay? And that's another thing of maybe going after Marner.
After Marner.
But not Matthews, but Marner.
You would want to have that in your team? I don't know, man.
I'd rather have Marner than Matthews. Yeah,
they're all cancerous in the... I don't know, man.
I would have Marner than Dubois in a second.
I'd rather have Dubois.
No.
Because Marner never said he cared about... He's a Toronto Leaf fan. Like, why would you want to have that type? Like...
Okay, it doesn't matter.
I don't know, man. Maybe Marner's better, yes, but like
I'm sure we have Montreal, a player in Montreal has were a Leaf fan growing up. I'm sure there's one player in Montreal right now that was a Leaf fan growing up.
Well, yeah, Toronto got Tavares because he grew up a Leaf fan.
So I don't know, man.
So maybe Dubois could be our Tavares.
He might excel in this pressure, and with Marty in St. Louis, dude, you never know, and you might be a compliment to what the chemistry that we're building, right? So
all that to say is, if we do go get him, the smartest move would be to wait till he's an unrestricted free agent and not trade assets
as a restricted free agent.
But my fear is he's going to cost this team too much, and it's going to put the organization to another chokehold in terms of salary cap situation.
But Sammy, what if he's like, you know what? To play in my home fucking team, I'll be willing to take a pay cut.
Dude,
so what if he says that?
No, NHL, see, NHL players are the only players that will not take cuts.
You don't think so?
No, they have less power than other players, though. So maybe that's a part of it.
No, but who did that though recently?
Their agents are fucking hyenas.
I don't know about that. Who did that recently? That or where was it done? Was it even hockey? Maybe no. I remember of a situation where
Jagr.
No. This is recently.
One of the biggest ones ever to do it was maybe Crosby took a pay cut to stay in Pittsburgh, but
Tom Brady took a many
Patrice Bergeron.
Bergeron, that's what I meant. Sorry. That's what I meant.
Hockey, yeah.
Bergeron.
Yeah, but age now, I mean, it makes more sense.
No, Joey, even before when they won the cup, Cantu said, he's like, how the fuck are you refusing not to make? You could make so much money. And he's like, no, I want to keep this team together.
Well, that's what
look at Tom Brady. Joey, I know you hate him, but whatever. But Tom Brady in his prime was taking pay cuts. When the guy
there you go.
At you said you weren't going to bust Joey's balls tonight.
No, but
that's a lie. Yeah, okay. Bergeron, why doesn't he come to Montreal? French superstar. Why doesn't he come here?
Because he doesn't want to play for Montreal.
Because he likes
PLD wants to play Montreal. That's all the story, dude.
Bergeron likes the Nordiques. That's why. He was a Quebec Nordiques fan.
It's like sometimes
you go to Colorado.
He was a Nordiques fan. Yeah, he was.
Why Colorado's not Quebec City. Still Boston?
No, that's what turned me around of PLD train was a player wanting that come fucking here.
I just think, dude, yeah,
that's rare as shit, bro.
No, but yes, okay, fine. It's cool and all. I do get it, but I think the ball is in Kent Hughes' court though,
yeah,
and I think he could be like, listen, you're gonna try to if the Canadians don't acquire Pierre-Luc Dubois this before the start of next season. Winnipeg is probably going to have to trade him at the deadline to another team. They're going to have to try to get something. But right now, their only hope of getting something in return for Dubois that could 95% guarantee it is from the Canadians. They're going to want something. And if Winnipeg says no, Hughes like, okay, well, good luck. Ciao, bye.
Sam, we already have our superstar. Harvey Pernard scored again tonight, so we already have.
We're gonna get to
what a guy.
By the way, he has double the goals of Gallagher. Just FYI, and this is
by the way on a full season, he's on pace for what 30 goals.
Hold on, go Anthony.
Just to conclude, Dubois.
Yeah.
Before we get to Pernard and everybody else, look, the worry about another Drouin, the worry about salary cap, the worry about rushing this team. To rebuild, retool, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. I don't have those worries with this management.
The worry about assets. That's my
assets and assets. Look, whatever Hughes and Gorton does, there's a reason behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they're businessmen, and they have hockey knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When we had Bergevin, he played with emotion.
This is
moves that he made. All our worries came in, right? He got Drouin because a French superstar. We need a French superstar to build this brand of the Montreal Canadiens back to French, whatever, right? He didn't think. He was never thinking. It was always emotion for whatever. We have Kent and Marty who are winner mindsets. They don't fuck around. And they're very smart businessmen. So to answer your question, Sam, I think Dubois is going to ruin our cap and fuck us in the future and chokehold us. I don't think Kent will do that. Zouk, another Drouin. I don't think Marty wants another Drouin.
I was afraid of that.
So if PLD does come to this league, this team, there's a brighter vision and a smart decision being made by management. That's all I have to say to conclude.
Yeah, Matt, he's going to take care of all
that. I hope he gets traded to another team so that I can just tell Anthony, told you so.
It's possible too, Joey. He's not coming, right?
I'm talking hypothetical.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you want him here. It seems like
I don't. I just want a winning team.
In how many scenarios has he come here, and how many scenarios has he not come here?
Odds are he's not coming here, but there's a possibility, dude. Like,
I won't be disappointed or happy. If you, at the end of the day, I'm trusting the system now.
Really,
Joey, I know you're gonna hate what I'm about to say right now.
Probably,
but I see it as Kenton Hughes and Marty is Kraft, Belichick, and the Patriots. They're doing it. I'm trusting the system. Whatever happens,
I'll take that, man.
Every year for the last 10, 20 years.
We're going to see deflating pucks soon.
Yeah, whatever. As long as we win.
Last thing, and then we move on. Deflating pucks. The last 10, 15 years, whatever it was, trade deadlines, July 1st, always disappointed as a Habs fan. I was always disappointed every July 1st and every deadline. For the next 4 or 5 years, I will not be disappointed, whatever decisions are made, because I'm trusting the system. I don't care if you walk I don't care if you walk around or fucking KK comes back. I don't care. All I care about is I'm trusting the system.
I could see if they bottle after Belichick. Montreal's up, it's game seven. Montreal's up by a goal. The other team has a breakaway. Did you see the puck deflate? Just in front of their eyes. And they're like, I don't know what happened.
Whatever, as long as you win.
Who mentioned Harvey Pinard earlier?
Joey.
14 goals this year, double of our hero Gallagher.
I think he's fantastic, man. Fuck.
This kid, does he make the lineup as of next season?
Yeah, please.
Of course, actually,
please,
does he get a contract extension as of next season?
Of course.
Yeah, I think so.
You should.
I see a little $2-3 million. 14
goals and is it what, 31, 32 games now? He's basically almost scored in half.
You know, he's a 30 goal scorer. Me, though? He has potential.
Zook, it's going to wear down. I think it's the whole beginner's luck type thing. He's not a 30 goal scorer. I mean, he could be. Hoping I'm wrong.
If he is, that's
using
insane,
him on the third line,
I think right. 14 goals in 32.
Third line dependable player, I'll be happy with it. This is a guy who drafted seven round. As long as you don't give him $6.5 million, you're good in my books.
Don't take this the wrong way. Don't take this the wrong way. It's so hard to judge these players this year because they are playing to shine. They're not playing for, there's no pressure on these guys.
And they're not playing to win.
They're playing to have fun. So all these superstars that are shining, all these young players that are shining, it's amazing. I'm loving it. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm fucking loving Pinard. I'm loving Gouley. I'm loving everybody the way they're performing. It's so nice to see. But put them in a new setting next year when we're trying to make playoffs, let's say. Mm-hmm. Are they going to perform the same way? That's why I'm having a hard time putting my hopes up of watching Pinard play and all these guys because, look, fucking Paling, we fucking went boss act crazy when he got that hat trick last game of the season. We went crazy last game, like, guys, next year, fucking Paling's gonna fucking kill your
balls. Crazy.
I don't know. I just came out of my mouth.
New term.
We're all going crazy. Paling, 3 goals all next year, fucking superstar, put the C on him. Guess what?
Well, he did get injured, but yes. And for this part, I agree. We'll see how they are on the pressure.
I agree with you. Finish that sentence.
Keep going, Joe.
No, I do agree with the statement made by the Curfew Boys. Oh, yeah. With Bernard, we'll see under pressure. Again, he's obviously scoring more than what people think he should. It's nice to see. But I've always been concerned the way Marty and the team has coached a team to win a game when it's tough. Like, and I'm talking in terms of defensively. I think he's putting them out there to try to just play their own way, be creative type, but they're not learning the two-way game. That's me. To me, they're not playing the two-way game. It might change, but you're going to need that when you have to make playoffs. If you take a look at Boston, Boston know how to score, they know how to keep the puck out of the net. I hate to use them as a team, but they're definitely one of them. They know how to score to enough to beat you. They're not going to be there, score 4 or 5 a game. Like I said, Montreal has scored so many goals this past 2 to 3 weeks, but they still have a losing record. They cannot keep the puck out of the net. Injuries are a part of it, but I think structurally they're not doing themselves a favor because even when everybody was healthy, yes, maybe we had too many rookies and a bunch of injuries as well to Edmondson.
And that's the thing. It's the injuries that gave him this opportunity, and he took full advantage of it, but – Is he going to have the same opportunity next year, or did he win that opportunity for next year?
I think he did, obviously. But Sam, my question is, if Montreal get into tighter games next year because they're better, and it comes to a point where Marty says, hey, you got to be back there to defend, is he still going to be able to keep up defending and coming to score 15 goals?
He might not. I don't think he'll score the same amount of goals if they make him play a little bit more of a defensive game, but he could.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you have to learn, hey, you got to put up this production, but you got to play defense. And that goes for everybody.
Yeah.
Because like I mentioned to you, Sam, specifically about how Suzuki and even Caulfield, like these guys are putting up numbers, but they all forgot about defense. I'll send you guys after.
Yeah, but Joel, let's be honest. Is Caulfield really supposed to be a defensive player?
I know I hate saying this, but he was better under this with Ducharme. And same with Suzuki. Suzuki was still playing well, but doing well. Again, I think my only worry with some of these guys is they forgot how to play defensive enough to win a game. That's me. And
we say how many times defense wins a championship.
I'm fine. No, I don't agree with that statement.
But it's also now because also all the injuries.
That's your proof, Zook.
I think the new brand of hockey is going to be more offense than defense.
For sure.
You need that balance. But I'm saying this year, next 3 years, it might be a goal-scoring league.
How many games have we seen that it's teams are putting up more than 4 or 5 goals a night?
Yeah.
I think goal fours is
at a record high, right? I think I was reading somewhere. It's never been like this.
But also it's because I think we're in that era of no longer star high caliber star goalies.
Yeah, that too.
There's just Vasilevsky that's left. But like
paired that with the fact that the game is faster and these kids are, dude, you see these kids shooting. I've never seen this before in my life.
They're unreal.
Even fucking fourth rounders are incredible kids nowadays. It's insane.
Well, look, it's a
high scoring game. It's high speed, all that.
Well, look, Harvey, do you realize
like Chicago and Arizona have given up less goals than Montreal. And don't tell me they have anything to rave about on defense or goaltending.
They may have less injuries. They may have more of a systematic.
Even with injuries, everyone's praising Montembeau. We're still third last behind Columbus.
Yeah, but look who's our coach, though, Luke Richardson.
But that's what I'm saying is I think there's been emphasis on scoring more, but I think a lot of the defensive game has been just lost. Like I said, Suzuki was an amazing two-way player, but I don't see as much. When I look statistically, and I'm talking about advanced ones, defensively, it's like it's night and day what he used to be to what he is now. So they have to find that balance. And when you have to play both ends of the ice, it's harder to produce. It just is. That's what Harvey Bernard, we have to see if he can keep that up. That's just what I'm saying. My worry is next year, when a game is tight and it's tied or it's a close game, can you produce?
The thing is, next year it's gonna be different because there won't be as many injuries.
Wait, don't say that.
We had that last year.
Now there's a lot of injuries, so maybe at this point he's like, okay, just go score.
I don't think it's only that. I think the fact of the injuries is creating that that lack of chemistry. Whereas if for example Nick Suzuki had consistent line mates and consistent D-men, he wouldn't have been a defensive liability as he was.
He had this year. We'll see. This year he had until Caulfield's injury. He had the same two guys besides the one crazy time where Marty was putting Doc at center.
Before Christmas, the Habs were not far from a wild card. Like they were playing well.
They were still in playoff position.
That's what I'm saying. So to it's this all day, the injuries that fucked them up more.
To this day, I think I believe Adrian more and more that they could have made wild card if everybody was healthy.
Yeah.
Or at least fight for
those advanced analytics, when a team is injured,
the injuries was a blessing in disguise for all these young players that are showing their talent.
Yeah,
they all got an opportunity in the professional league because of all these injuries. We wouldn't have not seen Panard play if those were all healthy players. And that's number one.
No, we wouldn't have been able to say that.
And yes and no, Ant. I just want to say yes and no because there's injuries every year. So he always seemed like the first guy to come up if there was an injury. And you're telling me no team does not not suffer an injury in 82 games. So I think he would have still had his opportunity regardless.
But maybe not that. Like, look, okay.
Maybe a day.
I don't think he would have lasted this long if those injuries.
Exactly. Yeah. It took him a while before Pernard started showing that, right? It
didn't, yeah, he had a rough start in Laval.
That's why. So yes, let's say injury would have happened and he came in. He didn't have they gave him a lot of time before he shined, right?
Yeah.
So maybe in your sense. So
but he took opportunity. He took full advantage of those opportunities. It's two games where he's got two goals and then he got his hat trick.
Yeah.
Like it's a seventh round pick, like it's fucking fantastic, and that's the thing now. It's like right now he's gonna be a restricted free agent at the end of the season.
Tom Brady, Rams.
He's making 825,000. Like what do you guys think he's gonna get? I think
maybe a mil. Like, how much more are you going to bump this guy up? Like, it could be one season.
Well, do you sign him for 1 year?
No, you sign him for more.
I say you sign if they could sign him 3 years at 1.5 or 1.2.
Yeah, that's what I see.
I think.
Okay, yeah, that could be a stretch. But if you can turn this into a third line player, it's golden for Montreal. Because
I think so, too.
Third line is something that's important. It's hard to find good third liners if you want to win the
cup. Or you throw him in as an asset for PLD.
They're not gonna run the seventh. They're not gonna want a seventh round pick player. Like, I mean, good on him. He could score. Maybe.
Wouldn't that be a win though, for us?
Man, are you kidding?
Yeah,
for us.
Yeah.
But hold on, Joe. I see the face that you're pulling. I'm an idiot.
No, it's never gonna happen, and so I'm not even gonna.
I know it's not even a possibility. Okay, I'm
let's
talking hypothetical.
Here. Yes. Let's,
okay, I'm talking hypothetical. I know,
scenario one.
I know it's not gonna happen, but it's something that Hughes could pull. That's all I'm saying.
You realize they're gonna laugh at him if they propose that, right? There's no way.
I can do one for one, Joe.
Kirby Doc for Romanov wasn't a, oh my God, what the fuck?
That was more of a shock that we gave up Romanov more than the value of the trade. The value of the trade is fine. Doc struggled in Chicago, and Romanov solidified himself as at least a second pairing defenseman in Montreal. Whereas Pernard is a seventh rounder having a good 30 games to Dubois, where everyone's saying he's, you know, at least a legit first second liner.
I would love to be a fly on the wall to any of the listeners hearing this part of the conversation that they would trade Harvey Pernard for Dubois.
Come on,
I would love to be a fly just to see the. No. It's fine. It's just talking. Just
well, I didn't say one for one. Whoa,
no, for sure. But I would love to be a fly. I would love to be the deal, just to see their reaction.
I wouldn't even do it if you throw in a first in the next 2 years. So you throw in that first, I wouldn't even do it. The 2023 or 2024.
You wouldn't do it again, hypothetical, and I know it's not gonna happen. I'm just having fun here, but you wouldn't do Dubois for Pernard and Florida's pick.
Yes.
We're not ready. We're not ready, and we don't have the cap. We're really up against the cap.
Fuck the cap, fuck the cap. You have an
it's hard, but that's part of the deal. You have to look in the cap.
No, hold on a second.
No we salary cap. Yes, in a heartbeat, I would.
Okay, no salary cap era. We're allowed. Pernard,
position five pick
for PLD. You wouldn't do that.
I would in a heartbeat.
No, we're not ready.
Eyes closed. I say
yeah. We're not ready, Joe.
We're not ready. You said screw the cap. That's fine.
He doesn't want to agree with me. That's his problem.
No, you said screw the cap. I'm not mentioning the cap. As a team, we're not ready.
But you're getting rid of Pernard, who is not a superstar, and a Florida pick who we don't even know if he's going to make the NHL for PLD, who's going to give us 80 points a fucking season. And you're saying no to that?
Yeah, he hasn't made 80 points.
He's going to make 80 points with Carlton Suzuki.
I don't know. I'm sorry. Maybe if you're talking
about cap, crazy
we're,
line.
Ready, we're ready to make playoffs, sure. Oh, but like, I keep thinking of cap and how our team is structured. That's I can't X that out of the talks. It's part of it. You can't just say screw the cap.
Stats man goes in his fucking realm. Right
yeah,
now.
It's hard for me to accept that because it's part of it. You can't just take something out.
Too deep. But he's at 58 points.
I would take that deal, man.
He's got 25 goals.
Dang, Zook.
Joey can just have fun. That's all. Just to be serious all the time.
What do you mean having fun? I'm looking forward to the draft. Look,
he's been a 20 goal scorer his whole career.
Pernard is 6 goals away, equal value, and then there's the first rounder. So there you go.
Yeah, he's bigger. He's a centerman.
Caulfield is 5'6", and the guy
pedigree.
Can score.
Hey, he's 5'9". Okay, he grew an inch.
He's 5'6" compared to everybody else, and he could score 40 goals if he is healthy.
So you're saying Pernard could score 40 goals?
No, Caulfield. I'm saying the size part.
Well, it depends what you ask, Joe. Sometimes size matters. But anyway.
In hockey, a little less of what you're talking
again,
about.
Again, depends what kind of hockey you're talking about.
Too late for this.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I think I'd make that deal.
Okay, let's end Dubois. I'm sorry. We spoke about it at length. Like, it's done.
Okay, it's okay. We gave our thoughts. I want to talk about Lane Hutson real quick. Okay,
that's a good way to end it off.
Is it fair to say Lane Hutson is our top prospect on the depth chart for the Montreal Canadiens?
Traded for PLD. Fuck
no.
He's Anthony Wood. If that happens,
now you're gonna get us murdered. If you really think.
No.
No way.
If that happens, I would burn down the Bell Center. Shit. If they would trade Lane Hutson for this, this is my worry. Some stupid idiot would just convince them to do this. Like one of these prospects, it would just worry me. Anyways,
I just wanted to see Joey's reaction, dude.
Not just Joey's reaction. I think the entire city would. I think
I will be part of that with fucking torches at the Bell Center.
Half would be pissed. Yes. I think half would be pissed.
Is it crazy that I want this to happen only to see Joy's reaction?
Oh my god, it's amazing. It's not good. Like he's gonna drive to your place and find you and hurt you.
It's okay.
No, I have nothing to do on Anthony. It's not him. I would go to the Bell Center with a torch. I throw it right at the fucking windows.
You're claiming arson.
No, that's a pretty high throw. Like you can't.
That's a high throw.
I'll have Anthony throw it.
Sheesh. Guys, I'm only laughing. I'm laughing like this only because I know Joey so well. I grew up with kids, and I've seen his slap attacks.
The casual sport, nobody cares about that.
Casual sport.
It's the rest that.
I've seen Joey in his snap attacks, and it's so hilarious that I actually picture him doing everything he just said to the Bell Center. I picture it. Joey.
I have a tendency to hold. I don't get angry when I do it.
You remember, for all the listeners out there, there was one day, it was me and Joey in a parking lot there was actually a shooting yesterday at that parking lot. But anyways, the one on Bélanger, okay? Remember, we were like fucking play fighting as a joke, and then you just lost it and attacked me, and you just started screaming.
Yeah.
I picture you doing that when Hutson.
It's
cut this part out. But yeah.
It's just look, he's our best prospect, and I just don't want anything stupid to happen.
No, you're right.
Like,
you're right.
We're waiting for somebody like this, right?
There's no way.
I would never do that. I just want to bust balls, but no, never.
Just the way Hutson played in that final game to win the Hockey East Championship in overtime. Yeah. But like they were losing, and then he just decided to be like, "I got this, guys."
Sam, he has something you cannot teach a player, which is clutch. You cannot teach that.
Yeah.
You either are clutch. Like you can become clutch.
So you're gonna call
you
him
have it or you don't.
So Lane Clutchson is what you're gonna call him?
Lane Clutch Hutson, one of the two.
Clutchson.
He might not get in the NHL, but at least there's hope that he could be a clutch player because he's showing it where he's playing now. He did it in the finals. And he's a defenseman doing this.
Yeah,
he's
unreal. He got snubbed by the Hobie Baker finalist.
Couldn't believe it. But still, that's fine. You know,
keep him
underrated. I'm okay with that. What type of player he could be.
Dude, but I freaked out when I saw that he broke records since Brian Leetch in 1989.
Yeah.
Like, was Brian Leetch.
I didn't read about that, but yeah, I'm not surprised.
Hall of Famer, Stanley Cup champion. Just saying. Listen, I think he's. Remember when we did a top 10, our top 10 prospects during the summer, which we're going to do again this year? I think
it's. Change that.
We're gonna it's gonna be lots of fun. I can't wait to do that actually, because there's a few names that are coming off there, and there's a few names that are coming on there, and there's some guys that are jumping their last rank. I think Lane Hudson just made from. What do you think about it?
Because I did his.
Did you?
Yeah, I think he was fifth or sixth. And so now he's gonna be first.
I don't know. He's the top though. He's not the one. Top. He's not
Who's more top than him?
Better.
Still Slavkovsky. My opinion.
Slavkovsky's not a prospect anymore.
I don't consider him a
prospect. Yes, he is.
He's an NHLer.
Okay, fine. So then I would say Logan Mailloux is close to Lane Hudson. I'm not sure who's ahead of each other, but...
Hey, Logan Mailloux finished most goals by defenseman in the OHL. 25.
Sorry to say, but to me, that he looks more like a promising player than Lane Hudson. Not the Buster Balzer, but he's a bigger, faster.
Listeners out there, remember he liked Ryan Poehling, so just
Whatever. Fuck.
So did I.
Listeners out there, he's a Roman fan.
You can't compare the two. One's a defenseman, one's an offensive player. Just two.
Well, yeah, Mailloux's offensive.
They're both offensive. Offensive. He scored the Michigan, bro. Fuck, insane, dude. like dude, it's sad that nobody's talking about him because
with that sound. Because anyways, yeah.
Wait, he's gonna make it and kill everyone. Fuck, you're gonna see. It's so good.
Maybe they'll be.
I love underdogs, man. I'm the underdog, man. Like the
I love underdogs too.
Come out, man.
How about we all agree? Maybe they'll be just be paired together.
That would be insane, yeah, for sure. But aren't they both left shot?
No,
Mayu's right.
Oh, he's right then. Okay, cool. Yeah, so then it would work.
But I'm just speaking.
You know, maybe they'll just play on the same team. So it's best of both worlds. They'll both be great.
But just the way, Hudson was clutch in those playoffs. He's going to the Frozen Four. Man, I'm super excited. It's going to be, I think it's going to be Easter weekend. Or just before Easter weekend, the Frozen Four. Like, I'm rooting for him. I really, really am.
Likewise.
But did you see Rem Pitlick's brother, Rhett, the goal that he scored?
How many Pitlicks exist?
He triple windmilled.
Everyone's Pitlicking. Like, when is this?
they're becoming the new Stalls,
man.
Seriously. Apparently, Lane Hudson has a younger brother that plays defense that broke records for the under 16.
Sign him.
What's happening in the world, man? Like, these kids are insane.
Yeah, the future is fucking bright. That's all I'm saying.
Right,
guys, think about it. Just conclude this whole fucking part. This show. We brought up names and theories of and projections of the future. This future is just, it's beautiful.
I have good news. Pittsburgh won. Mm-hmm. So Florida, even with Florida's win tonight,
they won.
Even though Florida beat the Canadiens 5-2, they still don't get a wild card spot. Pittsburgh, finally, they fucking won because, like Joey said, they're becoming frauds, and I believe it. Hey, Columbus lost to Boston in overtime, so that's not so bad.
That was kind of a strange result. Flyers got a point, which is great to wrap this up. Ottawa won, keeping pace with Florida to try to drop them.
Capitals got a beating.
Okay, the max we can get is bottom five, the fifth spot. Six,
Arizona. That's our biggest worry right now.
Arizona, but we can't go lower. We can't hit to Anaheim or Sharks.
Impossible. No, it's almost impossible. Like I said, seven wins, we could have been at the absolute bottom.
Anaheim would have had to win.
It's impossible.
We're gonna draft Will Smith.
It's not
another sentiment.
Or six, or even seventh, if Flyers really mess up.
Yeah,
sure. But I'm looking more at Florida. So before we end this, I'm looking more at Florida because Florida.
Yeah.
For them to have a shot at number one, they need to be 22nd, which is where Washington is. I don't think they'll make it. So, but anyways, if they can drop, it would just be better to have a better overall pick at that spot.
What, it's like 15 overall, more or less, is projected?
For them? Between Florida. 13 and 15?
Dude, so if we get 2 16. In the first round,
no, you're right. Yeah.
We get 5th, let's say, overall, and 15th? That's incredible.
But that's what I want. That's what I want. I hate bringing this up again, that's but insane. if that pick drops into the late mid to late 20s, maybe you consider trading that for.
Yeah, it depends.
I'm
just saying. Right. That's not a bad idea. Yeah, you're right.
That's what AJ
could they do that? Yeah, they could do that.
They could do whatever they want.
Okay, yeah. No, but I'm saying it's on draft day now, right? Like draft you gotta wait.
Yeah, or before. During the summer.
I was saying he was supposed to get the rumors. He was supposed to get traded at last year's draft for Anderson and another.
We'll
pick.
See.
Hey, Anderson is still an asset for trade, so and that can help our fucking salary cap. On that note, gents, any last words?
Bye now.
He said it all.
Yeah, to all listeners out there,
bye now.
Thanks for listening. Again, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. Subscribe on YouTube if you want to see our beautiful faces. Listen to us on any podcast platform like Google, Apple, and Spotify. Guys, we have our Curfew Boys date night tomorrow. So looking forward to that.
Hey now.
Looking forward to that.
We need to say that, by the way.
Bring the booze.
I'm hungry.
Very what?
He said bring the booze, Sam.
Yes. No, but you said you had to say
No. We have to say that when we see each other. Instead of saying, like, how's everything, like, say hey now. That's what we have to open.
Hey now.
Yes,
hey
for now. Sure. All right. On that note, until next episode, ladies and gents.
Bye now.
Bye now.
Good night.